Good morning. Wow, it's like I didn't have to do a teacher attention getter today. Everyone's ready. Yeah, they're like, this is Easter. We're at church. Huh? Oh, yeah, lots of lunches and brunches. Anna said, get along. Okay. Good morning. My name is Brittany. I am a white woman. I use she, her pronouns. I have short blonde hair. I'm wearing a pink sweater and loud. Do I want to stand? Oh, no. No, that's okay. Thanks, Joel. So while I said that many versions of Scripture include, is this okay? Does this sound okay? Okay. Many versions of Scripture include another 12 verses in chapter 16. This is the original end to the book of Mark. Did anyone happen to notice something that is missing from Mark's version of the Easter story that is in every other Easter story? Jesus. There's no Jesus in Mark's version of the Easter story. It's the only gospel that doesn't have Jesus eventually sharing about his own resurrection. The verses that include this were added a few hundred years later. These verses that Mark put in his book illustrate Jesus appearing for Mary Magdalene. The verses that were added, sorry. Appearing for Mary Magdalene, telling her to tell other folks about it and her not getting believed. Then Jesus appearing to two disciples and telling them to tell other people about it and then them not getting believed either. And then finally, Jesus showing up at a dinner to the rest of the disciples and yelling at them for not believing and needing him to prove it to them. But I like it the way it is, ending here with the women leaving the cave. I mean, obviously, I love it when Jesus shows up in Scripture. But I love this original story because to me, it is such an incredible example and illustration of faith. The women at the tomb go to do the hard and beautiful work of anointing Jesus's body. And when they arrive, he isn't there. And some random man tells them that Jesus is risen and to go tell others about it. And they do. Well, some speculate that that's not actually clear enough, and that is perhaps why there was an eventual addendum to this text. And I don't feel surprised that that felt necessary in about 300 AD, because at the time, as we know, women were not often considered leaders in religious spaces. Perhaps those that were making decisions about Scripture at the time were of the belief that no one could possibly believe that women that are afraid could follow through with sharing the good news of Jesus' resurrection. But I like to think that Mark didn't believe this and felt confident about the account of resurrection that he wrote that ends in verse 8. As I read the story with the new tools that we have not just added in the last few months, frankly, but have really been working on over the last several years, I see some evidence here that Mark saw the women as very credible people that would have gone on to share the good news of Jesus. Mark is the only gospel that shares an intimate look at the women that are going to care for Jesus's body. Mark shares their names and even their voices. This, while seemingly small, is really huge. The words of women are often erased in the stories of our sacred text. But in the very small amount of text that Mark provides for the last chapter of his book, he uses one of only 8 verses to share the chatter between the women as they walk to the tomb. Who will roll away the stone from the opening of the burial cave? 3 women, none of the other disciples, head to the tomb of Jesus to attend to his body, knowing full well that there's a damn boulder in the way. But they go anyway. These women believe that they will be able to do what they have set out to do. Some sort of conviction moves them forward in even this very unlikely circumstance. They've already set out to do one impossible thing that morning. It stands to reason to me that they may also do what they're told by this mysterious messenger. They have shown they believe once. Why would they stop believing now? And while the last verse says they were overcome with terror and amazement, the Greek tromos and ekstasis, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't take Greek. Could just as easily mean trembling and amazement or astonishment. And I know that in my experience, trembling has shown up just as often when I have witnessed bravery as when I have witnessed fear. I like that Mark's gospel ends here. I like that we as the reader are also challenged to believe that the messenger with Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, are the sharers of the gospel without the proof that Jesus showed up. I know it's the wrong holiday, but I had this memory of that scene in the Santa Claus where when the sweet little elf Judy is making hot chocolate and she says to Scott Calvin, seeing isn't believing, believing is seeing. For these women, their world has just come crashing down. The man that was leading them and sharing this new way of life and new understanding of God is gone. In chapter 15, Mark shows us that Mary, Salome, and Mary, and Mary, mother of James and Joseph, have been with Jesus nearly every moment since his execution. They have watched as this man that they love is murdered in a state-sanctioned, mob-affirmed killing. They watched as Pilate laid Jesus to rest in the tomb and watched as he was sealed away. They are neck deep in a grief that is perhaps beyond comprehension for many, or perhaps, unfortunately, intimately known for some of us that have loved so deeply and lost so unfairly. In a time when some might lock themselves away in grief because the world seems to be over, they continue to move. We come to this Easter morning in a world that feels remarkably like the one that Mark has illustrated for us these last few months. So many of the weeks started with somebody up here saying, "This week feels a little on point." Even just in these last few weeks, day after day, news stories slam us with new information that feels like it could be from these pages. Christ being put to death by police when Victor Perez was shot and killed during a mental health crisis. Christ being put to death when our autistic siblings are disregarded and denigrated by a U.S. leader in a message that will ultimately lead to their continued mistreatment and death. The UK Supreme Court erasing Christ as trans women from their legal place in their country. Christ being killed in Gaza more times this week than I was able to keep up with. ICE kidnapping and detaining Christ, holding Christ in prisons, and his head being shown on our screens as we scrolled from day to day. It's exhausting and to witness all that leads to Christ being put to death over and over in our world. It can lead to our own trauma and pain, like it may have for Mary, Mary, and Salome. And yet in our story today, they kept walking. After their day of resting, they were ready. Friends, we have rested and we'll take time to continue to rest when we need it. But we may have to move our feet. This Easter, let us feast and celebrate the risen Christ over deviled eggs and ham or barbecue like at my house. And when we wake up tomorrow, may we remember that we are not insignificant in the way that Mark knew that these women were not insignificant. That we, like these incredible women whose experience is shared by Mark, are faithful. May we run as fast as we can from the tomb while trembling to courageously share the good news amidst the grief that we may feel and confusion that we don't have answers for. May it be so.